blessing on His Word as we hear it this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for Your Word. We're grateful for the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're grateful for His ministry as our great High Priest. And as we consider His priestly ministry and how it surpasses everything and anything that man could invent or develop, help us to appreciate His intercession and His sacrifice. Let Your Spirit minister this word to our souls so that we may be comforted, encouraged by this gospel of grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we were introduced to Melchizedek last week in Genesis when he appears out of nowhere and seemingly disappears as well. He's repeated again. He's mentioned again in Psalm 110. And then in this portion of Hebrews, he's picked up and identified as someone who reveals to us the work of Jesus Christ. And this passage is a difficult passage. I'm aware of that. But I would like you to think of this by way of illustration as we try to understand what God's Word is revealing to us about the ministry of Jesus Christ. And think of it of the relationship between a scaffolding and a building structure, whatever that structure may be. If you've driven down the highway towards Napier, there's this elaborate scaffolding structure that was covered with netting of some sort where it appeared like they were building a tent. I just drove by it again this week and noticed that they'd taken the netting down, and sure enough, they were building a tank of some sort for Ravensdown. We can only guess, though, because the netting covered all the work that was taking place. And I noticed it again in town at the Opera House, that there's the scaffolding with netting, and you can't quite see, but you recognize the appearance because the scaffolding has a similar structure as the structure that is being built. And this illustration of a scaffolding with structure helps us understand what our text is getting at. And the Old Testament Levitical priesthood that God had established for Israel through the ceremonial law was like that scaffolding. It had a significant place in the Old Testament. But God had designed it, like scaffolding, to have a temporary purpose. It would be ridiculous to say that we live in the scaffolding or we do our work in the scaffolding. We need the structure. But here the illustration breaks down. Because here the author of Hebrews tells us, wait a minute, there's some very significant differences between the Old Testament priesthood and the ministry of Jesus Christ as our surpassing great High Priest. There are some very important similarities as well. One is referred to as the Aaronic order, the followers or the descendants of Aaron. The other is the Melchizedekian order, or the order of Melchizedek. And they're different. And it's understanding these differences, but also the similarities, that help us to worship Jesus, to understand His ministry, to understand how this morning He's ministering to us by His Word and with the sacrament, by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we would be refreshed, we would be encouraged, we would be strengthened, we would be comforted by His priestly service. And what a surpassing priesthood Jesus has. So that's what we're going to look at this morning, the differences and the similarities between the Aaronic order and the order of Melchizedek, the order of Aaron and the order of Melchizedek, in the ministry and the priesthood of Jesus Christ. We'll start with the differences and then we'll conclude with the similarities. But I'd like to start with the differences. The differences are the differences of the establishment of the office. And there's two differences. Actually, there's two similarities as well. There's two differences and two similarities. There's two differences. The difference of Jesus is the indestructible life. You'll find this in verse 16c. Verse 16, he has become a priest not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. So that's one difference. Another difference is that Jesus' priestly ministry, his priestly service, was established by an oath. So those are the two differences, an indestructible life and an oath. Now, how are those different? The Aaronic order was established on the basis of a legal requirement. God in his law established that any descendant of Aaron, anyone who is going to be a high priest, anyone who is going to minister in the most holy place, because that's where the high priest could go one time out of the year, he needed to be a child or a grandchild or a descendant of Aaron. The Levites, you'll recall, was the tribe of priests who were dedicated and consecrated to the service of the tabernacle and to care for the temple. But the priestly service was restricted to the descendants of Aaron. And Aaron had the special task, and his descendants had the special task of caring for the sacrifices, and particularly on the Day of Atonement, of going into the Holy of Holies. And it was very straightforward. When one died, they would go to the family tree, they would go to the genealogical record and say, okay, who's another descendant? And that's what God's law required. But again, that's the scaffolding. And God was very aware of the weakness of the system that he had established. And it needed to be replaced. It needed to be surpassed. It wasn't the structure. Verse 18 reminds us that it was weak and useless. It couldn't make anyone or anything perfect. It couldn't secure holiness. That's the character of the ceremonial law. It could never, ever make a high priest live forever. And the instruction from this is, if your priest doesn't live forever, neither do you. Neither do you. And here's the difference that we need to celebrate this morning. The difference of Jesus' priesthood. It wasn't temporary. It wasn't weak. It wasn't useless. It was permanent. Verse 16 tells us that his priesthood was permanent. And unusually, it says it here, because of the power of his indestructible life. Because this priest who came is God and man in one person. And interesting, isn't it, with Melchizedek, we don't have his birth narrative, we don't have his death narrative. But with Jesus, we do. We have his birth narrative, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. And we have his death narrative, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead, and buried. But here the author of Hebrews says, but he was an entirely unique because he had an indestructible. It couldn't be destroyed. It couldn't be taken from him. He could give it up, but it couldn't be taken from him. He wasn't just a man. He was so much more than a man. He was God and man. He was God's provision. And how do we know that his life was indestructible when we have his birth narrative and his death narrative? Dare we say it? Well, yes, we must, because here's the witness of Psalm 110. You are a priest forever. This is the witness of the Word of God. This is the witness of the Triune God, who from eternity had established the arrangement that this Son would be the sacrifice. And when Psalm 110 says it, we hear from the inner sanctum of God's counsel, Christ, my Son, here is your ministry, which is established forever. You are the priest forever. An indestructible life, the life of God Himself. It is only God who has an indestructible life. Even Adam didn't have that, and we're well aware of that because Adam fell away. This high priestly ministry of Jesus Christ is a gift from heaven itself. It's a gift from the counsel of God. Oh, the surpassing greatness. What the difference? It's not established by the law. It's not established by human activity. It comes from God Himself. And by the power of an indestructible life, He is a priest who lives forever. And this leads us to the second difference, which is confirmed in His ministry, that it was secured by an oath. Because Aaron's lineage, because God's law had established that Aaron's lineage was to be from one descendant to the next, it was secured by the law, a law which God had given. There wasn't a need for an oath, because when a new high priest needed to serve, they would just find a son. He was qualified because of the family law. But with Jesus, this one was made a priest, not from the tribe of Aaron, but from the tribe of Judah. And we well know that Moses' law never addresses that a priest would come from Judah. But here is the uniqueness of Jesus. Here, His priestly ministry is established by an oath from God. God actually swears on the base of His name that this is going to be Jesus' ministry. And it is this oath which guarantees the priestly purpose of Jesus Christ. That even as He's ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, His priestly ministry continues. Such that the author of Hebrews draws this glorious conclusion. Consequently, He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him. Since He always lives to make intercession for them. He's secured by His indestructible life. He's secured by an oath, which is so different than the Aaronic priesthood. And yet, there are similarities. Similarities in the ministry of Jesus to the ministry of the Aaronic priesthood. And those similarities are the intercession, the need for intercession, and the need for sacrifice. Again, two similarities. The need we have for intercession and the need we have for sacrifice. Because here's the danger. If we hear that there's scaffolding, if we see something as temporary and it's obsolete, we tend to dismiss it as unimportant. But the author of Hebrews reminds us why the Old Testament priesthood is so important as a way to show the similarities between the ministry of Christ and the ministry of the Levites. That we need to understand from the Levites the need we have for intercession. And see that Christ so far surpasses it, but we still have this ongoing need. Intercession, boys and girls, simply means that we need someone to go between us as sinners, because we are sinners, and go between us and a holy God. That without that person in between, without that intercessor, if a sinner goes into the presence of a holy God, he's going to be destroyed. He has to be destroyed, or God is not holy anymore. And so we can't fit together. We don't go well together. And that's the need that we have. And we learn that from the Old Testament. The scaffold reminds us of this structure. No one could just come into God's presence. There were a few who tried and they were struck down because of that. Once sin had entered this world, they'd lost that ability, that opportunity to associate with God. That's why when God appears in the garden and Adam and Eve have sinned, they run and hide because they know they'll be consumed and destroyed. That's what they deserve. You can't just come into God's presence unmediated without an intercessor. That's been lost by the entrance of sin. And all of Israel's relationship with God revolved around the priest's mediation. Around the fact that the priest would be the one to go to God on their behalf. And here's the wonder. Christ, as God and man, is doing that for us. And here's the similarity in his ministry. His is a ministry of intercession. He's aware of our sinfulness. He's a sympathetic high priest who knows our weaknesses. And He always lives. He has an indestructible life so that He can make intercession for us. And that intercession is pronounced by Jesus as part of His ministry. When Peter was boasting, though everybody leaves you, I will go with you. Jesus says to him, oh no, Peter, you don't understand. Satan has sought to sift you like wheat. You can't stand on your own. You can't survive without me. But I have prayed for you. We have the good shepherd who never loses his sheep. We have a priest who always lives to make intercession on our behalf. So that when we can't cry out, when we're so overwhelmed with life, when we are becoming undone in our being, we can cling to this marvelous truth of our mediator, that He is a priest who always lives to be that go-between. And even now, in heaven itself, before the very throne of God, He is pleading our case for us. He's there in the Holy of Holies, in the heavenly sanctuary before God, and saying, these are my people, these are your people, I have secured them. Father, deal mercifully with them for my sake. He always lives to make intercession for them. And where this intercession continues, we're further assured of the similarity of our need. Our need for a mediator is secured through His enduring life, but also there's the similarity in the need for sacrifice. The author of Hebrews, it doesn't fit tidily in a logical development the way other letters do, but now he comes to another idea and he kind of throws this on as something, again, just amazingly significant that Jesus, as our high priest, he has no need for ongoing daily sacrifices, because He offered Himself up once for all. If there's a reason we need to appreciate the Old Testament and appreciate the Levitical priesthood, it's a reminder for every one of us. You sinner, you need a sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there is no atonement for sin. Sin demands death. All of Israel's life was directed around dealing with their sin, with understanding and contending with the reality. They'd look at an animal and the first question would be, is it clean or is it unclean? Can I keep it or do I have to get rid of it? Is it clean or is it unclean? How they cut their hair, how they planted their crops, the clothes they wore, how they deal with mold in their house was a constant reminder of this reality that sin demands death. That it needs a sacrifice. And ours too. But understanding our life and to have our life reflect the centrality of Christ, of what Christ has done for us once and for all. There's a finality to it that it's so comprehensive and so consequently, verse 25, He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God because He'd offered Himself up once and for all to save us to the uttermost, no matter what that sin may be, to provide atonement for it. He's offered the sacrifice necessary to satisfy God's judgment for your sin and to satisfy that judgment forever. Forever. Oh, the surpassing wonder of Christ's priesthood. And why is this so important to recognize? And why is it so necessary to understand this relationship between the structure and the scaffolding? Because I believe that when we come to the sacrament, the same relationship needs to be grasped and clung to by faith. You see, this sacrament is not the sacrifice that atones for sin. I am not the priest that ministers this sacrifice. This is not the intercession of Jesus Christ, but it is so vital for us to understand that as it shows us the work of Christ, we can be in wonder and awe of what Christ has done. He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God. Imagine that. We're all going to stand before God in the Holy of Holies. And one sin, a sin like Uzzah in reaching out his hand to touch the ark, is worthy of condemnation. But go. Go into the Holy of Holies. Confident. Confident of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He is able to save you to the uttermost, to the most extreme sin. And He always lives to make intercession for you. And so come. Come, sinner, come. And partake in faith and celebrate the ministry, the intercession, and the sacrifice of this one who has an enduring life and a very secure oath as our high priest. Amen. Let's pray together.